Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
This is Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's Bradley South, former Ole Miss offensive lineman, 8-year NFL vet. Today's guest on Talk of Champions is Mason Brooks, the Western Kentucky offensive lineman transfer, who announced on Monday that he's going to play his final year of collegiate eligibility at Ole Miss. Brad, what's up?
What's up, dude? It's been a little while, man. Did you fire me and then rehire me, or what was the deal?
You know what I did. I told you. I was giving you a week off. You do this out of the kindness of your heart. I feel bad.
Oh, man. Yeah, I get it. No big deal, man.
Don't lie. You thought to yourself middle of last week, why have I not heard from him? What the hell's going on? It's not like I told dude. You I was giving you a break either. That's the bad thing.
Well, you know me, dude. If I get so busy during the week, half the times you have to remind me anyway, so... I'm glad you wanted me back on, man. It's awesome. Yeah.
You're the pool, okay? You're the pool on Talk of Champions now. So I ask you, now that Mason Brooks has committed to Ole Miss, he will play his final year at Ole Miss. What do you think about him? Have you looked at him yet?
You know, I looked at him a little bit today, and man, he looks like a really good athlete. Obviously, he's one of those kids. He reminds me of Anthony Costanzo. I think looking at his background, Costanzo was like a quarterback converted to tackle, which is unheard of, kind of like Lane Johnson kind of deal. But he looks like he was one of those kind of athletic, a little bit skinnier kids and put on the weight and carried it pretty well. So, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of excited about this. I think this may give us the ability to move Broker to left guard and that kid at left tackle and keep James at right tackle. And, you know, you figure out the other two spots and, you know, you probably have a pretty decent O-line.
Caleb Bourne would be the center and Eli Acker would be the right guard if the season started today with those three that you just mentioned. But one thing that happened as well, along with Mason Brooks on Monday, was Nick Broker announced that he's returning. And for the longest, he was trending towards going. He wanted to go. That's just what he'd set his mind to doing. That's what he was going to do. And you had talked about, even though that's what it was, that he needed to come back, and now he has come back. But why did you say that then? Why did he need to come back?
Well, you know, I kind of know the kid personally a little bit, you know, talking through some stuff with him, and really, really good kid, really smart, very, very, how do I say this? He's very self-aware, meaning what you see a lot of now is a lot of kids are very delusional on their situation, and they think they're just going to run off, and NFL is going to be a sure enough thing, whereas he actually saw the value of coming back to Ole Miss for only 6 months is all he had to do and potentially play guard. And, you know, if he plays well at guard, he could easily be a second, third round pick. Whereas if he leaves this year, it's a guess whether or not he can play guard because he's never done it on film and he's likely going in the sixth or seventh round. So, you know, I think he saw the value. He's still young. And I think he saw the value of, hey, let me go back and see if, you know, he can't hurt himself anymore. You know, he goes in, plays guard. If he plays well, he can only help himself. So either way, he's going to get a shot. But he's coming back to try to up that shot and try to earn himself some more money, which is what has been going on for years, which is the correct way to do it. Whereas nowadays, that's been lost in the shuffle and kids are leaving, you know, and very unlikely to get drafted or maybe leaving to go late in the draft, which is just not something that should be going on.
Mason Brooks played right tackle predominantly at Western Kentucky. Can he make the move to left tackle if that is, in fact, what Jake Thornton and Lane Kiffin decide to do up front?
Yeah, he looks pretty athletic. He looks athletic enough to do it, but I think that, you know, between him and James, either one of those guys could play either side, I think. You know, James obviously played right the most, but Some combination of those two on the right or left is probably what you're going to see. I'd be interested to see if it's going to be James moving over there, just because, you know, he's kind of got the NFL style body, and maybe he wants a chance to play left tackle for a year and see what that would look like. Maybe he's more comfortable over there and we just never seen it. Who knows? But it'll be a combination of those two. I'm sure they'll work them on both sides. And, I think either one of those guys will be the two tackles.
Well, let's play it out a little bit. Jeremy James playing right tackle, moving to left. You've made that move before. If it does happen, what's the biggest adjustment for Jeremy James?
It's not as easy as people think. I was always much better on the left side. I felt more comfortable. I felt really awkward on the right side. I don't know if I had tightness in one of my hips or what. And when Bobby was here, he was the same way. He could not play left whatsoever. So it just depends. Some guys can do both. I could definitely serviceably do both sides, but felt much better on the left. It just depends. I mean, I don't know. It just depends on what kind of experience they have and what kind of flexibility they have in their hips to be able to make that transition. It's just going to be a matter of if they got experience doing it before and if they are comfortable doing it. Some guys can do it, some guys can't. And, I'm sure the coaches will figure it out, which guy has the ability to do it.
This is Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's Bradley South, former Ole Miss offensive lineman, 8-year NFL vet. Got Mason Brooks, Western Kentucky transfer offensive lineman, coming up on the Modern Woman phone line. If you haven't already, subscribe, rate, review Talk of Champions in iTunes. And when you do, leave a 5-star review. It doesn't matter what you say, as long as it's 5 stars. And this podcast can be found wherever you get your podcast. Just simply search Talk of Champions. I write for the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliate of on3.com. And as we're recording on this Monday night, for you to listen to this podcast on Tuesday morning, official welcome to Oxford from the official Ole Miss football Twitter account, Charlie Weiss as co-OC and quarterback's coach, Marquell Blackwell as running back's coach to replace Kevin Smith, Chris Kiffett as co-DC, linebackers coach, and Nick Savage as head strength and conditioning coach to replace Wilson Love. What do you think?
All solid, man. I mean, Chris Kiffett was a huge get. I think that, his recruiting, I think that he's a solid get for Ole Miss, especially with his NFL, background. He kind of went up to the NFL and did a really good job with the Browns and in San Fran. And I just think that, I just think from a coaching standpoint, he's got the experience you're looking for, and I think that's a really good add. The strength coach, I've heard good things about. I just think that him coming from Florida, being an SC program, that's big time for us. And the OC is a guy that Lane's worked with before, probably really comfortable with. That's what we said earlier in one of the podcasts, is that the hire is going to be somebody going to have to be somebody that is a smooth transition for him. And it looks like that's what he did. And it'll be exciting, man. I mean, it's going to be a lot of change for Ole Miss football, but with the way it's set up today, I mean, you look at our portal. I mean, if we were to happen to land Trigg and Dart, you go look at that portal. That recruiting class, it would be unbelievable. I mean, you got one of the top quarterbacks, tight ends, and running backs from the previous class. So, I mean, it's that's just the nature of the beast. Now there's gonna be a lot of change, a lot of turnover. These coaches will be exciting ads, and it'll be a whole new look this fall.
I'm not saying that it's the best class ever if that were to happen, because depth wise, we don't know. You got to see how those players in high school, how it plays out for them in their careers. We don't know. Like the 2012 class was a low-ranked class, but look how many guys contributed from that class. So I'm not going to say that. But if you get Jackson Dart, if you get Michael Trigg to go on top of Isheem Young, Troy Brown, on and on, Mason Brooks, who's on this podcast today, it has to go down as the most consequential recruiting class in Ole Miss history.
Yeah, it'll certainly be crazy, man, because that portal class would have potential to hold this team up to being a pretty darn good team after losing essentially your whole offense. I mean, your whole offense minus a few linemen, and you add all these guys, you can literally be taking a snap next year with Dart, with Evans and Trigg on the field, with your new left tackle. I mean, it would really be an amazing testament of what college football is now. and how it is a higher gun game now. I mean, it's pretty incredible watching this kind of turnover, and you could essentially go out and portal you almost as good a team as you had the year before, like a basketball.
Which is a lot of fun. NFL free agency is fun. NBA free agency is fun. Sometimes more fun than the seasons themselves. Same thing with Major League Baseball. But what always haunts Major League Baseball is it drags for months. And that's what needs to change about the portal. What we're getting now and the action you're getting as far as recruiting with portal recruiting is a lot of fun. It's great for the game. It builds interest. But you have to do it for a particular amount of time. That's why we always talk about windows. But when I say consequential, you could easily point to Laquan and Rob and Laramie. And that's true. That's the best signing class ever as far as top-end talent. But what I mean by consequential is very simple. As far as impact for the very next season, this one would be the most consequential ever. Because you're right, they lost everybody offensively. Zach Evans comes, and then Jackson Dart comes, and Michael Trigg adds a component to the offense that they didn't have last year. They didn't have that tight end that could stretch the field. And then stack on top of it Jordan Watkins, maybe Cam Johnson from Vanderbilt. Maybe Deion Smith gets his grades. He goes to LSU this spring and then enrolls at Ole Miss in June. That could happen. However it shakes out, if that were a class led by Jackson Dart, it's the most consequential. What are you hearing about Jackson Dart right now?
You know, I know he had a good time here. I know some people that hung with him. You know, it's by all accounts, he was having a great time, which all visits are a great time. Like, let's be real. Nobody really goes and has a bad time when everybody's, you know, you're loving you up and trying to get you to come here. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, not hearing a whole lot on it, just like everybody else. Just a simple fact, he had a good time and he left town and probably, if I had to guess, probably just getting home, you know, not too long ago. So I'm sure we'll all hear something soon. I know that the people that were with him were reiterating some things he was saying, and sounded pretty confident. But you know, who knows nowadays? I mean, I know then he comes today and he tweets about OU and everybody freaks out. Like that's not a common thing with these kids. So I think that we would be a very attractive place for him. I mean, if he were to go to OU, is he going to just agree to sit the bench for a year, or is he going to think he can beat out Dylan Gabriel? Then what happens to Dylan Gabriel? So I don't know, man. I mean, when you essentially have a pretty, pretty good path to being the starter at an SEC school, I don't know what more he'd want, because getting on the field sooner would help him, you know, get to be an NFL quarterback than it would going to sit behind another player at Oklahoma. So, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we are a good destination, but we'll have to see what happens here.
What do you do if you don't land him? And this podcast could be old by the time people are listening. We don't know when it'll happen. I felt more confident Sunday going into Monday than I do right now, but I don't know if that's really based on anything of real value to me. I look at what Jackson Dart did online, and I understand why people be a little bit freaked out. The way he tagged Jeff Lebby, tagged Brett Venables, because that's either one of two things: a jugular, brutal troll job, or he's going to commit to Oklahoma. Then I remember what Davison Igbinosin did. And Davison Igbinosin tweeted out that picture of him and his brother in Rutgers, and everybody freaked out. Then he comes with another graphic and another graphic and another graphic. And he did, to Jackson Dart, tweet about Ole Miss and his picture with Lane Kiffin. I don't like to try to decipher what kids are trying to say on social media, because now they're more brand aware than they've ever been before. So everything is a work. It's like in wrestling. That's a long way of saying, I don't know.
Yeah, and then you look at Lane's tweet too. He was saying five stars are coming or whatever. So I mean, you can look at a million different tweets. It's just hard, this Twitter game. He could also be using that against OU as leverage. You know, you don't know what kind of NIL deals are involved in this. He could be trying to get a bid war going. Who knows? I mean, who knows how crazy it is now? But I'm sure we'll all find out soon. What makes me feel confident though is Trigg, and I know that them two want to go somewhere together, and I think that he is really I actually really think he's really connected to the tight ends coach here. I know they have a good relationship, and I just think that could be the factor there. You know, him coming in, and both guys will have almost an immediate starting spot at an SEC school would be my thought. You know, there's no better place to come and do it than right here. You know, it's just there's not many chances where you get to come in and kind of take the show like that.
Did you watch much of Percy Lewis before he committed to Mississippi State? Did you look at any film on him?
I did not.
It's a random question, I know, but somebody asked me on the message board, the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com, and affiliate of On3.com, if I would compare or get you to compare. Because
You know what, though? I did watch him live. I just did not realize he was a top recruit. I think I watched him. No, it's just I was watching the whole line in general. Just watching some JUCO ball. You know, one of my family members is the coach at PRCC, so I watched some JUCO ball and film. So I have seen him. I do remember him being a humongous dude. That's about all I remember watching.
Well, I tried fan of Rebs. I think that's who said that on the Ole Miss Spirit message board. I tried. Here's a question for you. So we're looking at these announcements from Ole Miss. These new coaches have been officially introduced. And Charlie Weiss, we knew this, but now we can really think about it. He's listed as co-offensive coordinator. Who's he sharing it with?
Ooh, I don't know. That's a great question. I wonder, I don't know, I have to dig into that. I wonder if John David Baker got a little bump there, or
maybe. I don't know.
Maybe so. I wonder if that was the case, or we have to look into that and see if we can dig up some title.
It certainly confirms being the co-OC that Lane is going to take an even bigger role with the offense. Not that he didn't have a big role with Jeff Lebby calling plays, but it was more collaborative. It feels like Lane's taking more of the reins. He had a lot of responsibility, but now even more so.
Yeah, I can definitely see something like that. You know, the Charlie Weiss hire, he is a little bit younger than I don't know. Is he younger? I think he's a little younger than Lebby, huh? He's kind of
he's 28.
Yeah, I was about to say he's younger than me. Wow.
Yeah, we're old.
So yeah, I can see. I know, man. It gets weird when I start seeing coaches that are young getting hired. I mean, heck, even Kellen Moore is going to be up for a head coaching job at some point. So I can see Lane not mentoring him, but you know what I mean, kind of sharing the reins with him, and then you know, kind of seeing where it goes from there. Maybe he blossoms into getting it full time, but. I think Lane's going to be very involved here.
We're going to get right back to Bradley Sile on this edition of Talk of Champions after we hear briefly from Alan Samuels, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford, and Cheney's Pharmacy, two proud sponsors of Talk of Champions. A new year brings new beginnings, a fresh start. The slate has been wiped clean. And what better way to celebrate that than with a new car? Well, if you're in the market, there's only one place you should go, and that's Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. From new and used sales to parts and service, Alan Samuels of Oxford aims to provide a truly stellar automotive experience. And what separates Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford from every other dealership is Alan Samuels aims to address each of your needs with the utmost respect, care, and attention to detail. Most everyone who's listened to this podcast should know by now I only vouch for sponsors I truly believe in, and I cannot say enough good things about Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. When you go, ask for Brian or Mason. They'll make sure to get you in the car that you want at a price point you can afford. And make sure to tell them that Talk of Champions sent you to take advantage of any one or more of the services Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford provides. You can contact them today at 662-234-8000, 2201 East University Avenue, 662-234-8000. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. Let's be friends. A new year is here. It's 2022, not to mention that spring is around the corner in Oxford, Mississippi. What comes with it? The return of Ole Miss football, Ole Miss baseball. It's a special time of year in Oxford. You want to be there, right? You want to be in Swayze Field. You want to be back in Vaught Hemingway Stadium. Well, the only way you can do that is if you're healthy, that you have a pharmacy you can trust. Well, there's only one pharmacy in Oxford, Mississippi that can do just that. Cheney's Pharmacy. A locally owned pharmacy that's been in Oxford for over 40 years, as red and blue as the Rebels themselves. Cheney's Pharmacy offers prescription synchronization, immunizations, compounding, a two-lane drive-through, and available hours that ensure your needs are met on your own time. Cheney's also accepts all third-party insurance. Cheney's Pharmacy provides the best customer service out there, hands down, it's not close. So give Cheney's a call, 662-234-7221. or go visit them at 501 Bramlett Boulevard. That's right off of University Avenue. They're open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Sundays. You can visit them online at cheneyspharmacy.com. Make sure your pharmacy is one you can trust. Cheney's Pharmacy, much more than just a pharmacy.
Here in Oxford, Mississippi, golf matters. For the Ole Miss Rebels, the casual looking to knock out a quick 18. Yes, we care about the fit when we hit the course, and PXG Apparel has something for everyone. Me? You Talk of Champions listeners know I'm a daily hat wearer, and especially at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has mastered a snapback for any type of weather or occasion. My navy goes with pretty much everything. Point is, PXG has you covered for any and all golf attire, making sure the fit is right in all the right places. Made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance, these confidence-inspiring looks invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from a round of golf to the office to a night on the square. Elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC at checkout to save 10% on all apparel.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's Bradley Sal, former Ole Miss offensive lineman, 8-year NFL vet. If you haven't already, subscribe, rate, review Talk of Champions in iTunes. And when you do, leave a 5-star review. Doesn't matter what you say, as long as it's 5 stars, this podcast can be found wherever you get your podcast. Just simply search Talk of Champions. And I write for the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, and affiliate of on3.com. What if they don't get Jackson Dart? Then what do they do?
You know, I was thinking that earlier, and I think the thing to do, I mean, I don't know what, obviously you're going to have to see, it's going to have to come to someone else transferring or somebody else hitting the portal that was unexpected. But I wonder if they turn to the JT Daniels kid. You know, he would be a viable option to come in, that experienced guy that could compete with Altmyer, which I think Altmyer would beat him out. But you know, you at least have that on the roster, and you know, he would probably think he could be Altmyer out. So you have two, that would give you an experienced guy that if something were to happen to Altmyer, maybe he's a good option.
That's interesting. Can he run at all? I don't know. I haven't watched him.
I know that's the only thing. Listen, in college and NFL, I don't mind it, but in college nowadays, there's just so much hidden yards with a quarterback that can run. Man, it is a game changer. In college, I would almost never recruit a quarterback that couldn't somewhat get some yards with his feet. It's just so valuable in college football. And, if you can't run, it's just tough. I mean, it makes it tough for the O-line and that, I mean, unless you're just a bona fide Joe Burrow type, it's just hard sledding in college football if you can't run.
I'm surprised you didn't prepare yourself for the inevitability that I was going to ask you about Jackson Dart and what you're hearing. And I thought you'd come with something just spicy, juicy.
No, nothing crazy, man. I mean, I know that I don't want to get too ahead of it and too excited, but I know, I mean, guys were very excited that were around him. You know, I know people that were hanging literally with him the whole night. So they had reiterated that he had mentioned that he was coming, but you know, I don't know, wasn't there. So I can't quote that. There's no telling what was going on that night, but, you know, he apparently had a great time. So, and really, really was having, you know, liking Mississippi. So I don't know, it wasn't there. So it's hard for me to speak on it, but it sounded like those guys were pretty hyped, pretty confident. So, they could be wrong. It could be your typical Ole Miss, you know, way too excited too early kind of deal. So I'm not going to put too much stock in that, man.
You just can't. How many of you out there have listened to this podcast for any length of time and heard me tell you, you're Ole Miss fans, if you allow yourself to get too hopeful it's only going to make the devastation worse. So just be cautiously optimistic, or expect the worst is the better advice. Expect the worst, so if something good happens, there's no downside. You can only be happy. That's the best way you can go about it. Because I don't know. I just do not know as of right now. It's a really hard one to follow. Because everything, when you look at the two situations, would lead you to believe that Ole Miss made the most sense. But that's not how any of this stuff works. And one thing I do know about Jackson Dart is he's got an NIL deal that'll go with him wherever he goes. Whatever Oklahoma can offer or is offering, as far as NIL is concerned, Ole Miss can not only match that, but is determined to exceed that. We'll see. Maybe as you're listening again, he's already committed to Oklahoma. I do know that until this is resolved, everything else on pause, or at least a little bit frozen, as we wait for Jackson Dart.
Yeah, man, I'm going to tell you what, if we were to wake up tomorrow and you get a Dart and Trigg commitment, I mean, you talking about that's about as good as weak as you can get. I mean, you got two big O-line pieces that are going to be in place, very experienced guys, highly touted. You know, the Mason Brooks had a lot of chance to get a lot of really good schools. Then you get those two guys, and you'd be talking about a big week. So let's just see what happens here, man. I know that I'm telling you where I feel confident is Trigg, and that is the fact that he has a good relationship with our tight ends coach, and I feel like these guys want to go together. If OU wouldn't have gotten Dylan Gabriel, I would feel, I'd feel pretty nervous. But man, I mean. Why would he want to go there? He's likely going to be sitting out again.
Saying all the things that every single Ole Miss fan has said over and over for the last week or so. And still, I get it. I get why they would be a little
bit nervous.
And listen,
here's the thing. They also signed a kid that is a very good player and that they absolutely love. They love one of the quarterbacks. I forgot his name. He's a big time recruit.
Evers.
Yeah, Evers. Yeah. That's exactly it. Evers. They love him. Absolutely love him. I think he's going to be unreal. So, you got three. I mean, dude, you got to come compete with Luke Altmyer. It's going to be a solid competition, but man, you're going to be the two guys. You're about to step into it, and OU is probably going to sign another one the next year. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's not good to compete, but at some point, there's, that's a lot of guys. So, you better take that. And not to mention, you're in the SEC. I mean, why would you? You, when you play Alabama, when you play the big time schools, you're going to be right there on national TV. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it would be a great opportunity for somebody. And I think that's why we're doing so good in the portal. Ole Miss has a lot of open spots, and it's an SEC school that just went to the Sugar Bowl. So I think a lot of people are leaving, but you got a lot of guys saying, hey, I can go start in the SEC, play against Bama, play against some of the good competition, get on film for NFL scouts, and, you know, show what I got right there. And I have a path to being a starter pretty quickly. So, I think that's why the portal's so hot for us right now.
I think it's the right strategy for Ole Miss, too. You're never going to be competing year in and year out with LSU, with Alabama, for those top-tier prospects. You're just not going to do it. So if you can make yourself the SEC West destination for high-profile transfers that are looking for a change of scenery with Zach Evans or a Jackson Dart, go somewhere where you can start, well, Ole Miss is that spot. But it does make the offseason pretty chaotic, but I don't think Ole Miss fans really care as long as Ole Miss is winning on Saturdays and as long as Lane Kiffin's the head coach. Alabama can't start all 25 stars that they signed in 2021 because we're not dismissing Luke Altmyer here at all. We both think Luke Altmyer could be a really good quarterback, but he's the only quarterback of note on the roster, and that's the problem. There's nobody to compete with him. If it's a Luke Altmyer offense instead of a Jackson Dart offense, does that change your outlook for Ole Miss football very much next year?
No, because that means that Luke Altmyer would have had a hell of a spring and a hell of a fall. And, you know, he was a highly recruited kid himself. And, it would not surprise me at all if he was given a significant amount of reps and from what he showed in the game that he was a guy. And listen, I am in no way this. I thought Luke Altmyer looked plenty good enough in the Sugar Bowl compared to, his age and probably the amount of preparation he got for that game. So I'm just in the boat of, hey, I get it. Luke Altmyer is only going to be a redshirt freshman next year, if I'm not mistaken. Another kid were to come in for a couple of years, he would still have 2 years of play to play at the end. So I just don't want to go into the season where he's the only option, for Ole Miss. And and all of a sudden he gets out there and he's not as good, or he struggles, and you're stuck with, hey, this is what you got. That's the old Ole Miss. You want competition here. I don't care what it is. You look at every good school out there, they're bringing in multiple guys and they're signing a big time guy. So competition is what it is, man. These kids, a lot of them run from it nowadays to get it, but you're going to have it at the schools, and it only makes everybody better. And I think that if Luke Altmyer were to be the starter next year, that means he had a heck of a spring, heck of a fall, and probably, got a lot of really quality reps to really understand the offense. And, I think we would be fine with him, especially if we put some talent around him. So, that means he would be have gotten, a lot better and moved along nicely in development.
So the short of this, you feel good about Michael Trigg. You don't know how to feel about Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I don't know. Just because I feel like, I was following the Trigg thing, pretty early on. I think I called you, a couple weeks before it and was like, hey, I think we're going to get this USC kid. Keep your eye on him, whatever. And you kind of heard it as well. And it's like that I was kind of planning on and kind of following really closely. The Dart thing came out of nowhere. So I just wasn't paying attention to it enough to really try to dig into it. So all I know is there was people that was hanging out with him. I said he had a good time. He got some guys' numbers from here to keep in contact and end up texting the guy saying, hey, Jackson Dart saved my number. So that was encouraging. So yeah, we'll see what happens here. And Lane did tweet, hey, you got some five-star coming. So what if out of nowhere, why don't people interpret that tweet like they do the Jackson Dart tweet? What if he's saying Caleb Williams is randomly coming? Why can't they get on that road? Why is it always the negative side? He said a five-star is coming.
It's Ole Miss.
Believe him. Lane, there's no reason not to believe Lane. He said a five-star is coming, so I'm excited to see a five-star
Kiffin,
it is.
Even Lane Kiffin overcome, we are Ole Miss. Strong-willed as he is. Okay. All right.
I think so, man. And listen, I'll tell you one thing about Lane Kiffin, too, that I was told and I thought was – and I never thought about like this, but so, this whole social media era, he's pretty popular on social media. He's got a crazy following.
Over half a million.
And listen though, but I've heard that there have been recruits that have met him, big time recruits, and could hardly get a word out. They were so nervous talking to him just because of who he was.
What?
I thought that was crazy. No crap. I thought that was crazy, crazy shocking. Like that's kind of the pull he has, man. Like these kids, when they meet him, they're like, oh my gosh, that's Lane Kiffin. He's whatever on social media. So I've heard he's, I heard these kids freak out when they meet him. So shocked to hear that. But I heard that from a coach himself. So felt pretty good about it. So yeah, he's got that pull on social media. And I think kids like that.
That's wild. That's wild.
No joke. Fumbling over their words is what it was said. Like hard struggle to get a word out when they're talking to him.
Over social media clout.
Well, that's just, to me, I look at it different, but I guess he's pretty famous out there.
Oh, it's insane. Oh, anytime he says anything, and he's the king of trolling of all college football coaches. JJ Pegues, there's no way to transition easily to this. JJ Pegues, the Auburn defensive lineman, went there as a tight end, now a defensive lineman. He's in the transfer portal. We've been talking about him, writing about him on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and FieldOfOne3.com, saying that he was going to get in the portal, and once he did, Ole Miss would become the prohibitive favorite to land him. You remember back to J.J. Pegues at all? And if you do, what do you like about him? How could he fit?
Yeah, I think that I'll be interested to see why he entered the portal. He was getting some time at Auburn. Auburn's a solid school. I'll be interested to see if he's trying to change positions or what he wants to do. What the motivation is there. I think Ole Miss would certainly take him. Great athlete, very, very athletic. But I think the position he's playing is the position that he needs to play to have a chance to make it to the NFL. I think I said that a long time ago when he was coming out, about the whole tight end thing was a waste of time. And it really was, just because that's just not an option for him at the next level. So, if he were to come here and want to play D-line, bring him on. I think he's a great athlete. He needs to keep getting bigger, keep getting stronger. And he moves like a freaking, he moves unreal. So he'll, in my opinion, he has a chance to be a first round type three technique, just based off of his athleticism and how he moves. So, yeah, I mean, if you were to come here and do that, I'd be super pumped for Ole Miss.
Would J.J. Pegues, the defensive tackle, would he be an immediate impact contributor next year?
I think so, but I think there's also, if we play this a similar offense last year, there's a chance for him to line up over the tackle in a 4-I as well, or it may be a DN. You know, if you're not going to be pass rush heavy, you're at least holding up the run. Would probably be athletic enough in this scheme to play over that tackle and be just fine. You know, so we don't really play a 4-down, or I don't know what we're going to do under the new defensive coordinator, but. I would anticipate it being much the same, but yeah, he could certainly play in that 4-I over the tackle and would fit in just fine.
Ole Miss is going to land him. I'm keeping my eye on a linebacker, a cornerback, both from Power Fives, a Power Five tight end, a G5 nose tackle, a Power Five offensive lineman. But I wonder if now that doesn't really matter because you got Mason Brooks. Mason Brooks is going to be a dynamic plug-and-play starter for Ole Miss. It was a huge position of need, too, because Ben Brown's gone. Orlando Umana, he's gone. You could argue about how good Orlando Umana was last year. He struggled. He was up and down, but he started every single game. That matters. Eli Acker is back. But Mason Brooks, in terms of need, really fits exactly what Ole Miss needed.
Man, I'm gonna be honest with you. I would take if they liked to. I would take two more guys if I was them at O-line. Really? I would never want to be in the situation we were in the Sugar Bowl ever again. And man, if I'm watching that was tough to watch. And it was mainly because we had guys playing out of position. So if I'm them and I could take some other guys, I'd want to create some real competition in that room. I would really make that room super competitive. And I only know this because I've been on some O-lines in the NFL that were, struggled in a year, and man, they brought in a shit ton of guys and they made it to where it's like, all right, either y'all about to have some competition up in this room if y'all want to keep a job. And, sure enough, having a lot of guys always help. If I'm them, man, I would really protect that never happening again. That was bad there in the Sugar Bowl. I would bring in another guy or two, at least another really good guy, if not another one.
Before I jump to Mason Brooks, what do you think about pairing Chris Kiffin and Chris Partridge, like DJ Durkin and Partridge? But Partridge, unlike with Durkin, now assumes primary play calling duties. Do you like that partnership? Do you think it'll be much different?
I think it'll be fine. I honestly, I was hard on Durkin at first, but I know some stuff happened there after that Arkansas game, and he essentially did it his way and was going all out, starting to blitz, do everything. So Durkin ended up doing really awesome. I think that, putting Kiffin and Partridge together, not sure how they'll do together, calling plays, all that, but those two guys are so valuable in recruiting and their knowledge. I think that's going to be a really good transaction, smooth transition. And, if Partridge does essentially what Durkin did, same style defense and calls it similar, I don't think you see a whole lot of difference other than maybe, some of the talents are gone, but, I think they'll probably do a similar style here.
I really hope that Ole Miss fans don't blame us if Jackson Dart doesn't show up at Ole Miss.
I mean, no one ever said he was going to show. I honestly have no inside knowledge on this when it comes to Jackson Dart.
Well, you got a little bit. Don't sell yourself short on that.
I feel good. I felt really good about Trigg. I was calling him to Ole Miss pretty early on there. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I know him and Dart are kind of connected, so we'll see. I mean, I would have for sure bet Trigg to Ole Miss a couple weeks ago, just based off of conversations I've had. But we'll see.
I can hear it now, Ben and Brad. You said it. You said that Jackson Dart was coming to Ole Miss. We didn't say that.
Nope. I'm 50-50 on it. I haven't got my hopes up one bit.
I actually, you know what I did?
So I have my hopes so low on this because I don't want to be disappointed. I started watching JT Daniels film.
That's a great idea.
I was like, I'm going to at least see with some good in JT Daniels just in case we have to go on that route. And then if Jackson Dart decides to commit this week, I'll be very happy. I'll be like, oh, wow, it's a surprise. No way have I penciled Jackson Dart into our starter next year.
That's actually really good advice. I wonder what a JT Daniels, Luke Altmyer quarterback competition would look like. That'd be kind of interesting.
I'm just praying that it's better than Barry Brunetti and Zach Stout.
Remember what you told me about Zach Stout?
Way back. Dude, he was unreal in practice, but I just didn't realize it was against our defense.
Did you miss being on the pod?
Yeah, dude, I cried all week, man. I was like, is Ben ever going to call me back? I feel like I got broken up with.
I know.
Hey, how's the Girl Scout cookies going? Did you get some sales?
Over 500 boxes.
Oh my God, baby, that's unreal.
She's getting a koala plush. That's what she wanted.
Yeah.
And she asked me if I would talk to the Ole Miss people, to my Ole Miss people is what she said. And so I called around. You were one of the people I called. And you bought 20. I was shocked. I was like, you weren't Ben. I'm about to buy a ton. Okay, cool. Something like 8, you know? Awesome. Yeah. That's great. 20
boxes. Listen, we have a lot of Girl Scout cookie fans in our family. So we're gonna pass some out, and we're gonna keep some for the fam.
But Ole Miss fans, they like deliver.
What is your favorite? What's your favorite? I mean, what do you prefer?
Oh, it's Samoas.
Oh my, that's me too, man. I crush those, but yeah. My wife hates them.
I don't get why people love Thin Mints. I hate minty stuff. I hate it. Easily the most bought cookie, Thin Mints. And Emily said that if you freeze them, they're somehow much better or something. Thin Mints sound disgusting to me. They've always been disgusting to me, almost repulsive to me. And yet everybody had to buy like 2 or 4 boxes. Everybody.
I can't do mint and chocolate, but
it's gross.
That's so gross.
But 513
boxes. It's almost like ribs. It's almost like ribs, dude.
Almost. Not quite as bad as ribs. Ribs are just disgusting. But 513 boxes. I asked Ole Miss fans on Twitter on the message board, and they hooked it up, and they won my little 9-year-old girl, Gracie, a koala plush that she desperately wanted. So you made me out to be like dad of the year. Thank you. It was really nice of you to do. He's Bradley Sal, back and better than ever. Thanks, buddy.
See you, Ben. Howdy, toddy.
That was Bradley Sal. Let's go now to Mason Brooks, Western Kentucky transfer offensive lineman on the Modern Women phone line after we hear briefly from BNA Bank, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions.
BNA Bank is celebrating 125 years of local banking. For generations, BNA Bank has been a stable fixture in Northeast Mississippi, supporting and investing in our local small businesses, local schools, local community events, local charities, and so much more. At BNA Bank, we believe in our local communities, businesses, and organizations because we are a local business, too. Thank you for choosing to bank local with BNA Bank.
The Modern Woodman phone line.
Cool, we'll talk. No big whoop.
No big whoop.
Where the best Ole Miss guests from far and wide drop in to talk the very latest in Rebel sports. Modern Woodman, let's make a difference together.
This is Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. Going now to the Modern Woodman phone line to speak to Mason Brooks, Western Kentucky offensive lineman transfer. Before we jump to Mason, have you ever wondered what you're going to do for retirement? Or if you're ever going to actually be able to retire? If so, give my friend Thomas Chandler at Modern Woodman a call. He specializes in retirement and investment planning and loves helping people plan for their dream. And Modern Woodman offers anything you could possibly need, from mutual funds to employee benefits to college savings plans and even a 1% guaranteed annuity. Give Thomas a call at 662-296-0186. That's 662-296-0186 and start taking control of your future today with Thomas Chandler of Modern Woodman. He's Mason Brooks. What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing good, sir. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on and doing this. You just announced your commitment. We're recording this on a Wednesday. You've just announced that you're going to be transferring from Western Kentucky to Ole Miss, choosing Ole Miss over Auburn, Texas Tech, Mississippi State, a host of schools. Why Ole Miss?
It feels great, man. It's been probably the most hectic, month I've ever had with, I got hit by a tornado and then played a bowl game and then transferred from the school that I love to, and then had, coaches coming up and coming down and going on visits. It's really relieving to finally be done. I'm excited to get forward going on Ole Miss. So that's been a wild ride, but happy with where I landed.
Let's circle back for a second. Wait a second. You said you were hit by a tornado.
Yeah. So I live in Bowling Green, right? Obviously going to Western Kentucky, and got a tornado, horrible tornado, rolled right through the middle of the bypass. Awful deal. Obviously condolences. A lot of hurt families out there in Western, and ripped right through my apartment complex. actually destroyed about half my apartment complex, hit us directly, blew out our windows and threw junk all in our apartment, busted pipes. It was an intense deal. You know, thankfully, everyone was okay. From the football team, you know, that lived in that apartment complex, but it was a scary 24 hours. And obviously was then, you know, homeless going forward the rest of bowl prep and lived out of a hotel room and just had to do my best there. But obviously blessed to have made it through that. And some, you know, we're not as fortunate. So it was a crazy deal.
Man, I'm sorry to hear that. That's terrible. And it makes this stuff that we're talking about here seem that much more trivial. But are you starting to kind of get your feet back under you a little bit?
Yeah, I obviously basically have a hard restart. You know, a lot of my stuff I had to leave behind, got damaged or destroyed. But it gives you an opportunity for a fresh start, almost a new start. My family was okay. My roommate and the rest of the football players that lived there had to move out. But you know, it was a crazy deal, but thankfully, you know, kind of on the back end of that and moving forward, you know, having to make a big decision, you know, essentially 2 weeks later, didn't have time, you know, had to kind of switch gears immediately. So,
well, if nothing else, it's nice that you're actually able to get back to a little bit of normalcy. You found your next home, choosing Ole Miss over Auburn and Mississippi State, other schools. What was it about Ole Miss that really stuck out to you over in Auburn, over at Texas Tech, just other programs that really wanted you? Why did it make the most sense for you?
A lot of schools that I narrowed it down to had a lot of things on the list. I really liked Oklahoma State. I obviously loved my coaches at Texas Tech that were at Western with me. I liked Coach Friend and what was going on at Auburn. I even liked, you know, Mississippi State and Baylor on the back end of my trips. So it got really down to the wire in terms of splitting hairs of what I liked. A big reason of why I got into the portal was to challenge myself. If I was going to leave a good situation, a situation where the people had taken good care of me and pushed me to do my best, it would be to push myself at the highest level, you know, and arguably, you know, the highest or one of the highest levels is the SEC West. That excites me personally as a player and someone who looks to push to the next level as much as I can. I feel like that gives me a lot of preparation for, you know, the ultimate goal, which is the NFL. I liked Kiffin. I think he's a character, but I think he's a great dude. Someone who's real serious about being successful. I like Thornton. I think he's hungry and really smart. He knows what he's talking about. And it was just honestly a culmination of a lot of things. I took my visits very seriously. I stayed away from the photo shoot recruiting aspect of it and focused more on scheme and fundamentals and what the staff is like. And I think that Ole Miss checked the most boxes out of that. So obviously a gut feel, you know, enjoyed my time in Oxford, but on the back end of that, from a business standpoint, really checked a lot of those boxes too. So really happy with my decision. And I feel like it's the best fit for me.
When did you know that Ole Miss was the spot?
I think as we were running back home, you know, I'd been on the road for about 7 or 8 days on visits. We were getting to the airport, felt like Ole Miss checked the most of the boxes and started narrowing it down at home to make sure that it was in fact the right choice, because like I said, a lot of the schools felt really good. You know, every time you leave a school, you like the people, it feels good. And so I think when we got home, started checking the boxes, we realized it was kind of a no brainer.
That had to be hard. I mean, you've been through the recruiting process before, but this one's totally different, right? Because you're accomplished, you've done it, everybody wants you. How do you really decide? How do you get down to that point where you can actually shave off some schools and pick some favorites here?
I mean, the first day, I had too many schools, almost too many schools to look at, which is, you know, not hopefully not coming from a place of pride. I don't mean that to sound prideful, just a total shift from getting recruited in high school where, you know, I only had a couple FCS offers and, you know, two FBS offers at the very end. Almost had to eliminate whole conferences because there's just too much to look at, which is such a blessing and you know, a testament to what they did at Western and the coaches that poured into me at Western. Really an honor to play there and really happy with my time there. But as I narrowed it down, it just got so, you know, particular. I've always wanted to play in the SEC. since I was a kid. And so I really became the SEC and the Big 12 because, you know, I grew up watching the Big 12 and the SEC. And I think that as I stepped back and looked at it, I think the SEC was what I really wanted to do and was excited for. And so pulled the trigger there.
As far as Ole Miss beating out Mississippi State, Auburn, those other SEC schools, what really made that last push for them?
Scheme. I like the scheme here. I think it, matches kind of the tempo, throw the ball style that I was running last year at Western Kentucky, incorporating Evans, obviously from TCU, growing up in Texas, watching him play, high school ball kind of after me and seeing what he can do with the run game. I think the dynamic level that they add with the run game here, it's something that I wanted to be a part of. And I really liked stylistically. Obviously, I liked Lane. I liked Coach Weiss. You know, he came in right at the same time I did. I think he's a very bright guy. I'm pretty sure he has a photographic memory. So the word was. So that's, that can't hurt. And then Thornton, obviously, liked him a lot and got to know Broker and liked Broker a lot. So just a lot of pluses here. I think Savage is legit. He knows his stuff. I think he's a great strength coach, and so I'm excited to work with him as well.
So Nick Broker announces on the same day you commit that he's coming back on NFL draft deadline day. What was your reaction to that? You probably knew before everybody else did.
I actually wasn't totally positive. I had talked to him about it. I told him I'd love to play on a line with him. I think, granted, we have certain lineup here. I think you're looking at one of the most experienced offensive lines in the country in terms of snaps taken and games played. I was excited to see that he was here and see what the setup was here with Acker and James and the guys that got here that are already rolling. I was actually over talking to him at his spot this morning, about potentially living with them because they have an extra room there. And so I'm really excited, as I was driving home actually to get ready to announce my commitment to see that he chose to stay. I think that he's a dude, and I think that's not going to change. And so to be able to play on the line with him and James and Acker and the other guys, I think is really exciting.
Well, you're in town, you're enrolled, you're ready to go. It's time to get started. So what's next? What's the first thing you start doing as you prepare for spring football practices and kind of ingraining yourself in this program? How does it start?
Actually, got a couple more hoops to jump through as far as the enrollment goes. Need to get a couple more things in line, but the terminology is going to be different and there's different way to go about things. So I think getting acclimated as I go through these first couple months, and then obviously immediately pushing myself to start working with the ones and find where I fit on the team and where I fit on the line, be as helpful as I can be. I'm a big team guy. I think that your O-line and D-line push your team, and it starts in the trenches, and that needs to be a cohesive group. And so whatever is the best fit is what I'm all about, and getting to know those guys and Kiffin and respecting what they have here and enjoying being a part of that is kind of what I'm looking forward to the most about the spring.
Well, what I'll leave you with is this. All right, Mason Brooks, Western Kentucky transfer, coming to Ole Miss. Are you ready to break the news that Jackson Dart is coming too?
This is still up in the air. I'm not sure. I sure hope so, man. He's a guy. So if we can get Dart and his boy Trigg, I think we'll really be in business there. But Altmaier's a dog too. I think we can't lose. So that's the way I'm looking at it.
That's the perfect answer to that. Perfect. It's Mason Brooks, Western Kentucky transfer. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. Look forward to covering you here in Oxford.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me, sir.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.